Hey guys, it's Emma
and Shannon,
and welcome back to our podcast, She's an Engineer.
Thanks all for joining in this week. We have an interesting episode, and we're going to talk a little bit about changing your last name or your surname after getting married, and we'll have a special guest during our coffee time who recently went through this process. To start off, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the history of traditionally why women take their husband's last name. And I know this has evolved and has become a different meaning for everyone. And I just think it's very great that in today's day and age, we have the choice between taking a last name, keeping your own last name, making a hybrid combination. So let's just dive into the history a little bit. So back in mainland Europe during the Dark Ages, roughly 500 to 1000 AD, populations were so sparse and spread out that last names weren't necessarily needed in order to function as a society. But as the populations grew through the Middle Ages and society became more organized, codified practices were needed to help these societies and the partnerships within them to efficiently operate. So common law was developed. And common law was formed in deeply patriarchal societies, and laws under the common law regarding women were often unfavorable to the female gender. And under English common law, the concept of coverture most clearly asserted this. It is also the basis for women taking her husband's last name during marriage. And coverture is the legal status of a married woman considered to be her husband's protection and authority, and as a result, women's rights were severely limited during this time. Women were not able to own property or vote, and growing up, they were under the authority of their father, and then once they married, they were under the authority of their husband. So these more traditional customs carried over from England to America during the establishment of the colonies, and though there were opportunities to formally abolish or amend these laws during the creation of the U.S. Constitution in the 1780s, Abigail Adams addressed the very matter in her Remember the Lady's Letter to her husband, the Constitutional Convention member John Adams. And the first break in coverture in the U.S. didn't arrive until the Married Woman's Property Act of 1848. Shortly after that, the earliest known existence of a U.S. woman who retained her surname upon marriage is Lucy Stone, and she was an anti-slavery and women's suffrage crusader who was married in 1855. In the 1920s, a generation after her death in 1893, prominent feminists formed the Lucy Stone League to help married women preserve the identity of their own surnames. And this didn't really catch on until later in the 1970s. And at this time, even highly educated women took their husband's surname upon marriage. One prominent woman who married before the 1970s wished to keep their maiden name as part of their professional image. They sometimes use their maiden names as their middle name. So this is pretty common. And a few people that have done this include the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sandra Day O'Connor. So the tradition of taking your husband's surname or last name, the custom was largely responsible for carrying this tradition on. But legal, societal, and economic institutions supporting this traditional custom began to shift in the 1970s, and the laws that pressured women to take their husband's last name changed. Also, the abbreviation of Ms. or MS became acceptable for women. Another factor that changed the statistics here is the age of a first marriage rose. So the age that men and women had their first marriage, they were a lot later in their life. And the number of advanced academic degrees received by women increased. Under common law, a woman is not compelled to take her husband's surname, yet the laws of various states have deprived women of rights such as retaining their driver's license and voter registration if they did not assume the surname of their husband. It was not until 1975, for example, that the Supreme Court of Tennessee struck down a law requiring that a married woman register to vote under her husband's name. The court cited the state's constitution adopted the common law under which, with few exceptions, an individual can choose any name. By the mid-1970s, these legal restrictions were generally overturned or ignored, and women started either keeping their last name or taking an abbreviated or hyphened version of their name and their husband's last name, or a few other alternatives.
That's like a lot less time has passed since then than I really thought. Like, the 1970s was like not that long ago.
Yeah, and I think we're about to walk through some statistics, but I still think in general women like to take their husband's last name, and we're given the choice nowadays, but we still kind of rely on that because of various reasons. But yeah, it's really interesting that women didn't start keeping their own last names until the 1970s, really.
Like, it was legally difficult for them to even have the choice. Like, they didn't have the choice to keep their own last name until fairly recently. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll go through some of the statistics. So in the U.S., most women adopt their husband's family name when they get married, and that's around 70%, according to recent surveys. And for British women, the figure is almost 90%, according to a 2016 survey. So that's quite a lot. And then much of Western culture and Western Europe also follows the same pattern, which some notable exceptions include Spain and Iceland, where women tend to keep their birth names when they marry, and Greece, which has made it a legal requirement for wives to retain their names for life since 1983. So women there actually don't get the choice of taking their husband's name. They have to keep their maiden name. And then even in Norway, which is regularly ranked, you know, one of the top countries for gender equality and has a less patriarchal history, the majority of married women still take their husband's name. But in Norway, for example, around half of those women keep their maiden name as their middle name, which functions as their secondary surname. And then with women tending to marry later, so that average age now is 35 or older in European countries, including the UK, Italy, and Spain, and around 28 in the US, this might also have an impact on future name choices. So research from Norway and also the US suggests that older and economically independent women are more likely to keep their birth names. And something that we don't really have statistics on, but something that I've noticed, is that it's like not really common in East Asian cultures for women to change their names. Your last name always like comes first, at least in Chinese and in a lot of other East Asian culture, and you just keep that for life. So like, for example, my grandmother, who married my grandfather in Taiwan, she kept her name for life. Like, she never switched her last name to her husband's last name, because that's just not really a thing that is common or is really done at all in that culture.
That's really interesting. And I have a question about your grandparents. When they had kids, did the kids take the father's last name?
Yeah, the kids still take the father's last name, but the wives usually keep their own last name or their father's last name.
Okay. So, interesting. Yeah, I think because a lot of these traditions developed out of Europe, it's mostly like a Western tradition. I am interested in learning more about Eastern cultures and the customs that occur during like taking your last name or not during marriage.
Yeah. So there's a lot more cultures that we aren't really talking about, but I know in some other cultures, there's a thing called patronymic. So it's like a patronymic suffix or a patronymic surname. So that's when you take your like last name is basically like your father's first name. So it's like in previous years, it would be like John, like son of William, something like that. And that's common in some parts of Africa and South Asia, from what I know.
Interesting. All right, so I think that sums up the history and current statistics for taking a husband's last name after marriage. And we're going to dive into our coffee time.
Hey guys, it's coffee time. So grab your glass of tea, of coffee, of your kombucha. I know, Shannon, you've made your own kombucha. And listen to us as we talk to our friend Tiffany about the name-changing process.
And today in our coffee time episode, we have a close friend of ours and special guest, Tiffany, who got married about a year ago and has undergone the process of changing her last name. So I think we'll just dive into some of the questions. It's really interesting hearing everyone's story on why they decide to keep their last name or change their last name. And I know out of all three of us, we have a little bit different opinions on this topic. And so, Tiffany, what factors did you consider when you were deciding whether or not to change your last name after getting married?
Well, I thought about it for a while. We had a very quick engagement, so I didn't have that much time to think about it. But even before we got engaged, I was considering it. And I think the biggest factor for me is that I wanted to have a family unit name. So we want to have children in the future, and I want to have the same last name as my children. And I didn't have a huge attachment to my maiden name. There's nothing special about it. It actually has very little history because my dad was adopted and took on his adopted parents' last name. So I wasn't really, I didn't have any special place for my last name, and my husband has a little bit more attachment to his name and his dad's family, so we decided to go with his last name.
Got it. Interesting. And can you give us a quick rundown of the process of what that process was like for changing your last name and how long it took?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually waited a while before I even started the process because we had an interesting story. We moved around for a little bit before settling down, so I didn't want to start that cascade of things until we were settled. But once I started, the first thing is really simple, which is changing your social security number, the name on your social security number. And it's just an online form that you fill out and say you want to change your name, and you take your marriage license in to your local Social Security Administration office and they change it. And then a couple weeks later, you get a new card in the mail. And so once your social security number is changed, everything else kind of is attached to that. It's used as an identification number often, so things kind of roll along after that. It was pretty straightforward, but then the next things are your picture IDs. So I had to send in my passport to get that changed and updated. So you had to fill out the whole form of getting it updated and send in the marriage license and proof that your name was legally able to be changed. And that took a while to get back. I have not yet changed my state ID, actually, my driver's license ID. So I am going on 6 months of this process, and I haven't done that yet. Partly because I also will need to update my address, so that's kind of a personal decision to wait. But what is interesting is that any official forms that you write, you're always going to put your maiden name. So you're going to keep your maiden name for the rest of your life. It's going to be on all official documents anyway, so you don't have to go through and change everything. It's still legally you. So if I don't change my credit card, they're going to still know that it's me because it's attached to my social security number, and that has both of my names filled in on it. So you can take as long as you need to change your name. And personally, I've been going pretty slow. It's taking a while to get used to. And I think there's a little bit of grieving almost in that process too, and like recognizing that you're still the same person, but you have to change how you're identified or how people recognize you. And that's kind of difficult, but being married is a part of my identity now, so I'm taking it slow, but figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah. I actually didn't know that your maiden name was used on official documents still. Mm-hmm. So when you're filing your taxes, for example, are you using your maiden name, or are you using your new surname?
I'm using my new surname because it's attached to my social security number, but it still has like a box for previous names. So you put your maiden name as a previous name. Mm-hmm. And if you do like a background check or anything like that, you're gonna have to put all of your previous names, things like that. So it's gonna follow you.
Okay. But your social security number does not change, right? You still retain your old social security number.
Yes, your number stays the same. I think you can apply for a new number if that's something that's necessary, but usually that's only in like severe cases of like identity theft and things like that. So there's no need to change it. You're only changing your name on it.
Right. Okay.
That's some really interesting insight. I was just thinking about what you said about your like maiden name still kind of following you. You're never going to rid yourself of that completely. And I was just thinking of my college diploma. And so like, that's always going to have your last name on it, right? That's not going to change. Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope. Interesting.
Yeah. That was actually something that I was thinking about. Cause I was like, well, when I get like, when you continue to get higher education, I feel like you keep thinking about like, oh, but if I change my name, my original name is on my diploma, so people like won't really know it's me. But I think people will still know it's me, because if your maiden name is still attached to everything, then it still applies. Yeah.
Well, and I think for social purposes, like if you're applying for jobs and things like that, that's where you might keep your maiden name as a part of your name and list it on like your applications or your resume and things like that, just to make sure that people don't get confused. But legally, you're always going to have your maiden name attached to you as a person.
And if you were to list it on a resume, let's say, for example, would you just put your first name, your maiden name, and then your new last name?
That's how I would do it. Yeah.
Would you keep your, like, middle name on your resume? I feel like I've seen your middle name on your resume before.
I don't think I put it on my like one page resume, but it might be on my like portfolio website. And I used my middle name a lot in like my social media accounts before I even got married. So that was normal for me. So I didn't actually change a lot of them, because they already had just like my first and my middle name instead of my last name. Just because my middle name is actually, it has more meaning to me than my last name does, or my maiden name did. And so I use that for a lot of things. So it wasn't a big change when it came to like social accounts and things.
Did you change it on your LinkedIn?
Yes, I did. And I kept my maiden name on there as well. So I think it has like in parentheses my maiden name.
Okay, got it. And then, I guess, have you had any difficulty in your professional life because you've changed your last name? Like, has it taken a lot of time to get used to? I know you said you've been kind of going through a grieving process with kind of changing your identity, or like including your husband's last name or your new surname into your identity.
Yeah, professionally, I think, is where it's been the most interesting, because socially, it was, you know, all this exciting news, and I invited the people to my wedding, so a lot of them knew that that was happening, but professionally is a little different, because I didn't tell everybody that I worked with that I was getting married immediately, and none of them were invited to my wedding, things like that, so it was kind of like as I started changing my name is when they noticed. People I work with often knew and were, you know, saw that change and knew that that was coming. But I have been working in a lot of different departments with a lot of different people. So it's taken a really long time to actually reach all the same people that I worked with, and let them know that my name has changed. So I still have two active email addresses now, one with my maiden name and one with my married name. And I am keeping my maiden name on my email signature for the time being, but it's been interesting because it confuses new people I meet too. So they're not sure. They're like, which one are you? Are you this one or this one? It's like, well, I am both because I recently got married. So it's just kind of, you have to tell people and educate them. And sometimes they forget and call you by your maiden name, and that's okay. And you just, because that's still you. And I don't always correct people. Sometimes I do, but usually I don't, just because I'm going to answer to both. So it's going to take a while for sure. I don't know that it's been difficult so much as kind of tedious. And just reminding people over and over.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, in the beginning, was it, I guess, I don't know if I want to say difficult, but I can't find another word. Was it, like, difficult for you to, like, remember to respond to your new name?
I don't know that that is really something that has happened very often, to even answer that question. I mean, most people just call me Tiffany, and I'm still just Tiffany. So I don't get a lot of other people using my name. I'm not like a Miss So-and-so very often, occasionally, but I'm not a teacher. I don't work in a profession that uses last names very often. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had a problem with it. I think it's more so been like when I sign my name or when I fill out new applications and remembering to use my new name. I think that's probably where I noticed it the most, and it's taken a while to get used to remembering to like sign differently. Signing your name is probably the biggest one. I actually practiced for a while because I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna sign my name. I've been signing my name this way for the last like 10 years. So yeah, that was probably the biggest change. Took the most practice and the most like active thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I imagine it's been such a habit for you to just say Tiffany, your previous last name, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of your new last name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, do you have any other questions for Tiffany about the process, or do you want to dive in?
I don't think so. I just wanted to add one comment as a friend of someone who has changed their last name. It's also like a weird reset for me too, knowing you by your last name previously and then seeing your new name and be like, oh, mm-hmm. I forgot. Yeah. Like you changed that.
Yeah. But at least you know, like you recognize mm-hmm. it triggers it. Yeah. Even my husband still occasionally like says my full mm-hmm. name with my maiden last name. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever said my name, including his last name. So it's just, yeah, it's different. But I think definitely the biggest contributing factor, because I really thought about it, because it has been difficult, I don't know if it's the correct word, but it has been a significant change in my life from all the different things you have to change and the people you have to inform and all of that. But I think the biggest contributing factor was just that I wanted to be a family unit, and I didn't want to feel alienated from my own family mm-hmm. by having a different last name.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever consider other options for changing your name? So instead of maybe just keeping your maiden name versus changing your surname to your husband's last name, did you think of like combining names or anything?
That's never been something that I really wanted to do. So it wasn't something that we spent time really thinking about. So I didn't really consider it, and I think it's because I have for a long time known that I wanted to change my name to my husband's because mm-hmm. I didn't care for my maiden name. Not that I identified as it, and like now I think about it and it's like, oh, I was definitely that person and I owned that name. But I had no like significant attachment to it, no sentimental attachment to it. Before I even met my husband, I figured that I would change my name to his because mm-hmm. I wanted to be a family unit. if I changed my name. So it was either I was going to stay if I decided, if it was later in life and I really felt like it made more sense to stay as my maiden name, I was either going to do that or change if I married early enough that I was like, okay, I'm young enough, I'm not far enough along in my professional career for it to be a drastic change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on another related note, I wanted to ask Emma a question because, as you all know, she's going to medical school and going to become a doctor. And we've talked about this a little bit, but Emma, I guess, what are your thoughts on changing your last name in the professional field after getting your MD?
Yeah, so for me, at least currently, what I'm thinking, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a while. I mean, I think we've talked about this for a while, at least a year. I personally don't think I would change or don't currently want to change my last name in the professional realm. I think I would be okay using my husband's surname socially. Like, you know, if I were to go and pick up my kids from school or mm-hmm. something, I feel like that would be fine. But in the professional field, I think I would want to be known as Dr. Chen, because I think that's just like who I am. And also, I mean, I feel like the whole thing is that, like, I was the one who went through medical school and, like, not my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's my name on my degree and not my husband's name on my degree. And also those degrees are usually like hanging up. And I also think that it's more common in the medical field, I think, for women to keep their last names. Like, I know some of my friends' parents are physicians, and I know they've kept their own last names after graduating from medical school, like even after getting married, particularly professionally. You know, like, of course, there are some times where, you know, their children's friends will call them Mrs. So-and-so, like their husband's last name, because mm-hmm. they know their children's last name. But I think professionally, a lot of women tend to either hyphenate their name, at least in the medical field, tend to hyphenate their name or keep their last name, or at least the last name that they had on their diploma. I think it might mm-hmm. be different when you get married prior to medical school or when you get married while you are in medical school, because those thoughts might be different. But I feel like if you're a person who is getting married close to being done with medical school or after medical school, it's pretty common to just keep your last name in the professional field. Mm-hmm. Also, just for me, I think, like, culturally, I think it's more beneficial for me to keep my own last name, particularly because, especially if I don't marry someone within, like, my own specific culture, like, who is Asian or Chinese, then I feel like that's a part of my culture that I would want to keep and I would want my kids to somehow keep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more question for you, because you just mentioned your kids to have that piece of your culture too. So if you were to have kids, do you have an idea of what you would do or how you would, if you'd pass along your last name or hyphenate your and your husband's last name?
I don't know if I'm particularly a huge fan of hyphenating, because in my eyes, I'm like, where does that stop? Like, I don't want them to be writing out, like, a 10, I don't know, 12-letter last name. Like, that's, I don't know. I always feel like when kids get, like, really long names, like, difficult names to spell in elementary school, they have, like, the hardest time with, like, tests and stuff, because it just takes them forever to even mm-hmm. just write their name. And I don't want to do that to my kids. I think maybe they would have, like, my husband's last name, but I would include maybe my last name in their middle name somewhere, or, mm-hmm. you know, if my husband was not Chinese and didn't have, like, a Chinese last name, then I would give them my last name as their Chinese last name. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have a Chinese name and my Chinese name starts with Chen because my last name is Chen, but I think I would also pass that on to my kids and give them a Chinese name, include and have that as their, I guess, heritage or the way for me to like pass my culture down.
Yeah, that's really thoughtful.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been thinking about this for a while, ever since we had that conversation in that car. Like, mm-hmm. I think we were driving in, like, Colorado, and I'm, like, I've been, like, actually really, really pondering this. So, yeah, it's definitely something to think about, I think, early on before you get married, because, you know, you want it to be your own decision, like, coming from your own heart, I think.
Yeah. And it's important to talk about it with your potential fiancé.
Yes.
Before you get married, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to just throw that out there. If you expect that to be the path you're on, you should probably be discussing it a little bit. Just to, especially if you, like you, Emma, like have, you know, this deep conviction to make sure your kids have your cultural heritage as well. You definitely want to make sure that your husband is aware of that. Or your
potential husband. Yeah, well, I mean, I obviously think that's something you should discuss before getting married, because it is like a choice, because you're choosing to get married. So yeah. Mm-hmm. But
Something else I just thought of that I wanted to mention is that a lot of people, particularly older generations, think that it is required for you to change your name when you get married. So I know I had several conversations with like my grandparents and their generation, their like siblings and such, as like, you know, I don't have to do this, right? Like, I could choose to keep my maiden name and not change my name at all. And they just assumed that when you got your marriage license, that's how you changed your name. But it's not. Yeah, they thought it was automatic, which it's not an automatic process. It takes a lot of work. And you are allowed to change your name when you get your marriage license, but you do not have to. So you might have to educate people about that, especially if they were like born or got married before the 70s, like we were Shannon talked about in the history. So just keep that in mind as you're going through the process yourself one day.
Right. Yeah, of course. I think it might be a little bit different if you come from a culture where it's like not common to change your last name. So it's like more, I guess, ingrained for you to like not think about changing your last name, if that makes sense. Like to think it's like maybe like abnormal. Obviously, we live in a culture where it's very normal to change your last name. We are surrounded by people who change their last names in marriage. But yeah, I think maybe it's a little bit of a different in culture as well sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Shannon?
Well, I think this has been a great conversation thus far, because it's interesting to hear. I think your name is just so personal, and it's how you identify, how you see yourself and how other people see you too. So even if you don't have a great attachment to your name, even when you do go to change your name, it is it is different, and you like identify differently. And I think my opinion on this topic is pretty simple. I have a lot of attachment to my last name. I identify with my last name, and I think overall it's just a cool last name. So I'm not really willing to give it up. And professionally too.
I like your last name. I think I haven't seen anyone besides you and your cousins who have your last name. So
Yeah. And so to sum up this episode, we wanted to talk through a few different options when you get married, if you choose to change your last name, keep your last name. And we talked about a few of these. So the first one is you could combine your last name with your partner's, and that can either be hyphenated, or I've heard of a few people who have gone more of a hybrid approach where you can take maybe the first part of someone's last name and the last part of the other person's last name and combine them. And this really depends on what your last name is, if this works or if it doesn't work, but it's a little more unique way to changing your last name.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also use your own name professionally and then use your husband's name socially. That is also an option. So you don't have to like formally change your last name, but you can present yourself in social circles or, you know, to your children's school as you with your husband's last name.
Mm-hmm. You can also take your husband's last name and then make your maiden name your middle name. And this was pretty common with a few people I mentioned in the political realm. I think if you also want to keep on going in your professional field, this is another way to incorporate both names.
Mm-hmm. My mom actually has that. So I've mm-hmm. like, I feel like I know quite a few people that have actually done that. But it also yes. means losing your middle name, right? Or can you have multiple middle names?
You can have multiple middle names.
Okay. I just feel like a lot of people tend to only use one because if you use more than one, it's like too long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Too long of a name. Yeah. Another option is also you can make a whole new last name for both your husband and you. So you guys can come up with a whole new last name that you think has meaning to the both of you.
Mm-hmm. And then you could also have your husband take your last name. And then one we already kind of went over, but you can both keep your last name too if you choose to.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's all we wanted to talk about. So I feel like this was all very insightful. Like I have a lot of things to think about after talking to you guys. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this was helpful. And thank you, Tiffany, for joining us today to talk about your own process. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.